Thank you, band. Thanks, everyone, for participating and leading us this evening. In case you're wondering, that's the Christ candle from Advent not long ago. That'll be significant later. I'm thirsty. Pretty common statement from many of us. If you live in a house with small children, it's a very common statement. Oftentimes abbreviated simply to thirsty. No need to say I am when the big people in your life ought to figure that out if you're the one saying thirsty. You know, if you've been doing some physical work, being thirsty is pretty common. If you've been exercising, and on this glorious day we had today, there were lots of people exercising in our city, pretty common to be thirsty. If you've been playing sports, common. If you're eating a meal, most people at least anyway, you get thirsty, you want something to drink. Hanging on a cross, whoa, just a minute, hang on, that's your thought? I'm thirsty? How about, ouch, ow, that hurts, when is this going to stop, can I die already? Isn't that enough? But instead it's, nope, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. And he said it on purpose. He wanted to fulfill the scriptures. Did you hear that refrain tonight in the scripture reading? It was repeated numerous times. To fulfill the scripture. To fulfill the scripture. To fulfill the scripture. He knew everything was done. But one part remained. Just to make sure the scriptures were fulfilled. I'm thirsty. The soldiers had some sour wine. It would be wine vinegar. Doesn't that just sound yummy? Actually, it was a common drink for soldiers and for field hands. It was cheap. Something that poor people would drink. It could easily be provided to a number of people because of its low cost. And this wine that they're going to offer to Jesus is quite in contrast to the wine that Jesus made at the wedding feast. You remember his very first miracle took place at a wedding and he turned water into the best wine they had had all day. But what got into these soldiers? No, we don't really know. For them to offer some of their own sour wine to a man they were executing, you would think that would be most likely rare. And John tells us something that the other gospel writers do not tell us, though. They offered the wine-soaked sponge up to Jesus on a hyssop branch. Hyssop. Does that create any recollections in the recesses of your mind from the Old Testament? Hyssop was the plant that was used to paint the blood on the doorpost at the very first Passover. Now, if it could be used to paint, it probably wasn't a very strong branch. But then again, it didn't have to be. Despite the fact that we often depict crosses very high and way up, we also realize that many times those crosses really were not that elevated off of the ground, and that for a grown man as a soldier, a big man, even though it, reaching up to a mouth of a man hanging on a cross would have been beyond his reach, he wouldn't have to reach a whole lot farther. And even if the hyssop branch wasn't all that strong, it was probably strong enough to lift that soaked sponge to his lips. And while he provided Jesus with a brief drink, he did it with a hyssop branch. That branch used to paint blood on the door frame so the death angel would know to pass over. And here, just following Passover, Jesus drinks from a sponge on a hyssop branch. Jesus is so thoughtful of us that he accomplishes every detail. Do you ever forget stuff? Jim Benson was picking up communion cups just before we began the service this evening. I told him when I walked in here this afternoon, making sure everything was set, I spotted a communion cup, and I thought I need to pick those up, and I left the room for something, and I never thought of them again. You know, you just plain forget things. Does it get worse when you're frustrated or flustered, or perhaps when you're angry, or when you're in pain? Do you forget? If that's the case, then can you imagine Jesus being in the excruciating pain of the crucifixion and still remembering a detail tucked away in the Psalms about being thirsty? Wow. How much does he care for you, for me, that he's that concerned about accomplishing every detail? You received a sponge when you came in tonight. Would you hold that in your hand? It's small, but the idea is to prompt you, to remind you that Jesus took care of every detail needed, every detail that was necessary, so that the scripture might be fulfilled as he accomplished a sacrifice for our sin. I encourage you to keep it as a way to remind you and to encourage you that Jesus cared enough about you to accomplish every small detail. We might could think leaving out "I'm thirsty" wouldn't matter, but Jesus knew it was there. Then Jesus says, "It is finished." What's finished? Redemption. Redemption, his work. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. Those are words right out of his mouth. Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save those who are lost." And he has done what he needed to do to pay the penalty for the sins of the lost. He had finished the work he had come to do. In John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, 51st verse, "He had given his flesh for the life of the world," he says. "As the good shepherd, he laid down his life for the sheep, just as he said a good shepherd would." He also said, and also speaks to us about that one man who would die for the nation, he became the one man who would die for the nation. He was the seed that had fallen into the ground and now would produce many seeds. And he had shown a love that was greater than any other. He laid down his life for his friends. And then Jesus gave up his spirit. In John 10:18, Jesus insisted that no one would take his life from him, that he would lay it down of his own initiative. And here he did just that. John says, bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. And Jesus died for you. Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sins. Jesus died and paid attention to every detail so that he would fulfill all of Scripture. And he gave up his spirit, for it was finished. Let me invite you to bow your head and your heart before the Lord in prayer. And if you would, hold your sponge. And I'm going to give you just a few moments to meditate on what Jesus did for you on this day long ago. I invite you to also listen. Perhaps the Lord would say something to you tonight. We humbly and we say thank you for Jesus. Lord, as we've come tonight to purposefully remember his death, it strikes us at what he did for us, what he endured. Father, to conjure up in our own mind of what it must have been like for him physically, the beating, the cross, the nails, the crown of thorns, to be thirsty. And then what must it have been like for him to have borne the weight of our sin? Father, that he was there to make a sacrifice for my sin. Thank you. Thank you that Jesus accomplished every small detail, that the Scriptures would be fulfilled. That he thought enough of us that in his suffering, in his agony, he took care of every detail. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. And as we consider these things on into this evening and throughout the day tomorrow, may our spirits be soft, our hearts sensitive, that we may hear from you anything and everything that you would want to say to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.